I want to look at a couple verses here. And then I'm going to go over to chapter 56. With chapter 61 of the book of Psalms, it says this: Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayers. Verse 2 says, From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. And here in chapter 56, we're going to start reading with verse 1 down, but I want to try to bring you a message today on crying or weeping or in that form today. But it says right here in chapter 56 of the book of Psalms, it says, Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppressed me. Mine enemy would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they risk my words. All thy thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity in thy anger? Cast down the people of O God. Thou tellest my wandering. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in the book when I cry unto thee? Then shall my enemy turn back. This I will know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Our Father, this morning, we just want to thank you for the reading of thy word. Now, Father, that you may speak through me tonight, this morning, Father, that, Lord, that it would hit the people this morning, Father, and what the message is trying to say. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that I'll just give out, Father, what you've laid upon my heart. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. We're seeing right here that where we just read over in chapter 61 is speaking about crying. Not only that, we're seeing where in chapter 56, we see where not only crying, but we see also the tears of David. And not only do we see the tears of David, but we know that David has bottled up the tears. And not only did David bottle up the tears, but thou tellest my wandering, put thou my tears into thy bottle, and they not, are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemy turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. We must remember one thing, that when any time that we come, any time we go to the Lord in tears, or we crying over an individual's life and their condition and the troublesome times that they may be going through, we're not the only one that's doing the crying. Because it says over in John chapter 13, I believe it is, or 18, is speaking about where Jesus wept. Now Jesus weeps, and that's the shortest verse in the Word of God. It's where he weeps. But not only that, we see where God has a heart of tears. And God is also crying for me. He is crying for the church today. Why? Because the church has forsaken God. The church has forsaken his attributes and his thoughts and his word. Is where it said, I just read, it says, in God will I praise thee. In the Lord will I praise thee. Not only will I praise God, but I need to praise the Lord. But in the New Testament, we also have where the Holy Spirit is come about. And we must allow, and we must cry, and we must praise the Holy Spirit. Now, I think when we are sensitive into the Holy Spirit, we're sensitive to God, sensitive to the Son, then we're going to shed some tears for the individual that is hurting. We have too many people out here today that is hurting. There's troublesome on every side. But God is bottling up the tears of the people today. And God is bottling up the tears for America today, the way they've cried out. But the tears move the heart of God. The tears will move the heart of God. Our tears will move his heart. Our laughter will not move the heart of God. It will embrace the heart of God. But the tears, our tears will move his heart. Will move his heart upon compassion toward us. And the heart of sinners. Tears will move the heart of a sinner. The tears of God will move the heart toward the sinner. And the heart in your bosom. That's God's tears. God bottles up his tears. And yes, we can bottle up our tears, because we have emotions. And we need to watch it. And the way we allow our emotions to take over. Because emotions can take over to the point that we'll get so universally wide and worshiping this and worshiping that and everything, we'll forget about the one that we truly worship. And I believe that when we truly worship God, then our spirit and what he has asked us to do, and if we worship him emotionally, by our tears and tears. The tears is that we bottle up within us is what brings our emotions out. Because why? Because of the individual that we prayed for. Yes, I've had some people this week that I've prayed for. And I've prayed hard for them. And my prayers to see them get in church. But as I go to them, as I speak to them, it seems like it's a distance there between like what I'm saying and what they're trying to hear. I don't know if maybe it's the emotion that I'm having towards them or what, but we need to watch in the way that we bring up our emotions through our tears. We know the tears will move the heart of God. The tears of the Savior. Whereas in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, he says this. It says where Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. And not only that, where at Lazarus' grave, we see where in the garden, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, is where the tears have moved the Savior. The tears of the individuals that was following the Lord. Yes, they had tears in that day. They had tears for the Savior. And we need to have also the same tears for the Savior. And we can also have the tears of joy. We can have the tears of this for the Savior, but we can also have the tears of joy in knowing who the Savior is. Jesus wept over his brethren. Jesus weeps over the brothers and his sisters that knows him. And who do we know? We can go out here. We don't know who is saved and who ain't saved. But when we can testify to the fact that yes, we can know if they will approach God in God's way. And what the Word of God says, God's Word says that when we are to approach a believer, that we know that it's testified to the fact that they've been born again, washed in the blood, and on the way to heaven, and just passing through, that yes, we can call them brother so-and-so, or we can call them sister so-and-so. That's how we can tell, and that's how other people that is around us that may be listening can understand in whom we're talking to. That we're not talking to just a sinner, but we're talking to a Christian. There's a difference between a sinner and one that's saved. Yes, I'm a sinner saved by grace. But there are sinners out here that is doomed by hell. But we need to have the joy that only God can give us. And we can have that joy. And it says where he kissed and wept upon each of his brethren. You know, in Psalms 23, while we're right here in the book of Psalms, I'll turn over there. And it says right here, the 23rd Psalms, in the last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely and goodness had met there at Calvary. They had met there at Calvary. Surely goodness and mercy, the goodness of God, was showed there at Calvary when he said, when he gave up the ghost and when he said to the Father, Father, forgive them. That was the goodness of God that showed. And the, not only that, it will see the mercy of God where he said, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the mercy of God, because they did not know what they was doing. But the goodness of God was the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross that day. In chapter 43, the book of Psalms, it says in chapter 43 and verse 4, "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Who is my help in my countenance? He is the health that brings me joy. He is the health that dwells within me to be able to stand this morning before you and before him and humble myself. Why? Because of our praise and our worship and our joy toward him. The tears of gratitude. We see the tears of gratitude. A poor, thankful woman wept upon Jesus' feet. She began to wash his feet with her tears. She had tears that day that was running down the cheeks of her face, and they was dropping on the feet of Jesus. Now, that's what I say, that when we come up to the altar, or when we come to where we leave our seat and we come to the place to where we maybe sit down on the front pew, or we came by then, we can come and sit down on the front pew, and that's the altar. And what we do, we come, and when we weep in prayer, the tears that's coming down the cheeks of our face is dropping on the feet of Jesus, that like that woman did that day, is her feet. The gratitude that she felt. The gratitude that she felt that day. A poor, thankful woman wept. She wept at the feet of Jesus. And not only did she weep at his feet, but she took her own garment. She stooped down and she wiped the tears from his feet. And we know also where we had the lady that went and touched the hem of his garment. And what did he say? "Somebody just touched me." And there was multitudes of people was around him. They said, no. Did nobody touch you? Did nobody touch you? He said, "Somebody touched me. Because my virtue has left me." His virtue had left him and went to that lady that touched the hem of his garment. That's what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to come and touch the hem of his garment. And when we touch the hem of his garment, then his virtue will leave his body. And it will come upon us the same way with our tears. When our tears, when they drop, and when our tears hit the floor here at the altar, and when they lay on the altar, this is the foot of the cross where y'all sit and come. You have a good afternoon. And we'll see Thursday. When you come and you sit on the altar, if you can't come in by it, when your tears drop down your face,
when they hit the floor right in front of you. Them tears just dropped on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Our tears touched the infirmity of the Lord. Our tears and touch Him each and every day that our tears drop. But we don't have many people out here anymore that really come and shed any tears anymore. What is the problem? Well, the problem, I think, is this. And I'm not talking about you, because I know that you do. At times, you do cry and you do shed tears. But we have people out here that want him to come down front and pray. We have people out here in the world that has turned it back on the church. They've turned it back on Faith Baptist Church. How many people that you know of has basically turned their back on Faith Baptist Church? Can you name a few? Yeah. We can all name a few. You could probably name more than what me and my wife could name. But since me and my wife have started coming here, since I've started pastor, I can name a few myself. But why? But why have they forsaken the assembling of themselves together in the house of the Lord? Because they don't want to come in and they don't want to have any dealings and saying that the service that I heard Sunday, it touched me. It touched my heart. They don't want to experience that. They don't want to experience that. But I'll tell you something. If I'm not in the house of the Lord, and the services is going on, it's nothing wrong with the church. It's nothing wrong with God, but it's something wrong with me. Right? Now, what few times I've missed, it wasn't because I wanted to miss, it was because of my health. But I'm not just going to stay out of church just to be staying out of church. I'm just not going to stay out of church just to go to Walmart because this is tax-free weekend. And then, this morning, there's going to be a whole lot of people that won't be at Walmart this morning. They won't be at Kmart. They won't be at Target this morning. There's going to be a whole lot of them going to be in church. So they'll take the time out today to go and they'll go to Walmart. They'll go to Target. They'll go to these places. And they think that they fooling somebody else. They think that they're keeping a secret. And then you ask, then if they was coming to church, and then if it happened not to be here. And then you say, missed you last Sunday. Missed you a couple of Sundays ago. Well, you know, I was just home. I just felt so bad, I just didn't come out. I felt bad too, and I'll come out. An individual, right after I got saved, he come down to work, and he worked, I believe it was health techs. His last name was, oh man, what's his last name? I had it on my tongue. Ricketts. No. Yeah, Garland Ricketts, that's who it was. He come by work one afternoon after he got off of work. He just come by to visit. He didn't come by to buy anything. He just come by to visit because I ain't been by 2 weeks, maybe 2 weeks since I got saved. And I was going to church up at Brush Auburn at that time. And he said, I just thought I'd stop by here and see you and see how you was doing. Thank you. I said, I'm doing good. I said, I don't, he says, well, he said, you going to make it to church tonight? I said, I don't know. He said, I got to work till 6 o'clock. And I says, and I've had a headache for the last hour or two, so I don't know if I'll make it or not. You know what he told me? Tell him this. He said, well, if you go home, if you stay at home, you still have a headache. He says, you'll be surprised if you come to church. And I took him up on that. I said, okay, I'm going to be there. And I did. I had a pounding headache, but when I got to church and I got to meeting some of the other people and everything, talking to them and everything, and Brother Ricketts come up to me and he says, see, you made it, didn't you? I said, yeah. I says, I know what you're talking about. And it went but a few minutes, like my headache was gone. People don't realize if they come to the house of the Lord, if they know that they need to be in God's house, if they come to God's house, then God can and God will do what he will do. But God is not going to do nothing for anybody that just lays out of church because they want to. Now, I don't serve no different God than what other people serve, unless they serve and they call him the God that they serve, the devil. But the God that saved me, the same God that saved you, and the same God that put it in my heart and put in my desire, put it there, and the desire that is in my heart to be in God's house each and every time the doors is open and to go out and visit, is the same desire he puts in your heart and other people's hearts. But people today, they don't look at it that way. They say, well, you know, I got to work. My wife has had people to tell me, so, you know, I've worked this week. I've worked 6 days this week. I can't go to church tomorrow. I got to rest tomorrow before I go back to church. That's what God says. God says, what did God say? God says, I set a day aside. What is that day? That day for us is Sunday, the Sabbath. It's Sunday, a day of rest. But it also tells us also that if we come out, and yes, if the ox gets in a ditch, or if something happens at home that we have no control over, if a water heater or something like that gets out, or we have a water leak, we just can't sit down and say, well, I can't, I'll have a leak tomorrow.
I've led a league to the market, I think. You know, I ain't on a cocker, I think I'm on about a half day. You know, they got a rest too. Hey. God says, I give you a brain to use. I give you a mind to discern from different things. And says, Lord, should I come home? Lord, I come home.
I might go home this evening, hallelujah. And all of a sudden, may end up having a water leak right after I get there. I don't know. But then I got another 3 hours, 4 hours before church starts. You think God is going to condemn me and God is going to forsake me if I happen to call somebody and if they'll come out and fix a water leak to where it won't flood my house, and they come out and they fix that water leak, and yes, it's just in time to where I can rush on down to church and be in church tonight. You think God's going to condemn me? No, but I'll tell you what. If I don't come tonight because of that water leak, because I've got somebody out there that's fixing it, I said, well, God, you know, I ain't gonna be able to make it tonight. Why not? Have you ever had God speak to you like that? Why not? Hey, he does say that to us. Why not? Why not? Why can't I be here? Why can't I trust the individual to stay there and fix my water leak and leave? If I've got enough trust in him to call him, I should have enough trust in him to leave him there for a few minutes after I leave. No, people don't want to do that. They don't want to come to the house of God anymore because they're scared if they come to the house of God that they're going to have to make a commitment. Not to God, but to the pastor, to the deacon, to the church. See, that's what they're looking to. They're looking to where they're going to make a commitment to the church. They ain't thinking about God, but where commitment needs to be laid at is with God the Father. And if a commitment is to Him, we ain't got to worry about the commitment we're going to have for the church. And the commitment that we have other things that God wants us to do. Why? Because God will help us. We cannot do it. And I'm going to leave it there. We can't do it. We can't. They can't do it. They think they can. They can't. I think I might can do it too, but I can't. Only way I can do things, the only way you can do anything is through God. If God speaks to us, as God allows us, to be used of Him. And I know that it's not a soul that's in here right now that does not have a desire on your heart just like me. And I can tell you for this, much that I believe, the desire that you have on your heart is the same desire that I have. And that's to see more people being faithful to God. You know, like I've said before, I know that I'm not the best preacher. I know that I'm not the one that can explain things better. But with God's help, I'm going to try my very best. But it's not about me, and it's not about God. What the people is worried about is making a commitment to you. Making a commitment to you, to Faith Baptist Church. They care less about me. That's fine. I still love them. Well, everything that is wrong with this, the world that we are living in today, and with all the leadership that we have, and all the wrong, I mean all the right that they wrote wrong, and they have turned it back. God has never turned His back on them. And I'm not supposed to turn my back on them either. I'm supposed to love them. Yes, I don't love their sin. I hate their sin. Yes, I do. I hate their sin. Not only do I hate it, but God hates their sin. But God loves the soul that they have. We all have a soul. And we have got to show people by not only with the gratitude, but today we need to do it by prayer. And on that note, I'm going to close. Not going to have no music. But I think it'd do good for each one of us this morning to come forward and to pray what is the desire that's on your heart. And name that desire to God. Now, I think we need to do it more than we have been. We need to come each and every service. And before we close each and every service, and my prayer is, and I hope and pray I don't forget. And if I happen to forget, I want Brother Bill just to raise his hand, and I'll just know what he means. That before we dismiss, we need to come to the front. And we need to pray. We need to pray for Faith Baptist Church. We need to pray for the ones that we've had on our hearts this week. We'd love to see them in church. We just need to pray earnestly today.